And we continue now with our Wednesday book report with a look at a television show. At the beginning of the summer, Lisa Shannon, a 25-year-old advertising writer from Detroit, asked America to choose a husband for her on the CBS reality dating show Cupid. And last night, America did.
America has decided that the right man for Lisa Shannon is Hank.
Hank, an options trader from Chicago, won out over Robert, a fitness model from Los Angeles. But it's no surprise, who could say no to a man like Hank, whose favorite movie is When Harry Met Sally? CBS set up a live TV wedding after the show and offered the couple $1 million to get married and stay married for 1 year. Now, what does this have to do with books? Well, a lot, says Patricia Cohen. She's a New York Times idea editor. She wrote a column about the connection for Slate. She spoke to our literary editor, Karen Grigsby Bates, about the similarity between today's reality dating shows and some literary classics.
So this is just the latest or maybe the most currently visible of a bunch of shows that, as you've written about, mix love and money and, to a certain degree, competition. But you say this isn't the first time that's happened. Why do you say that?
Well, what I was struck by after catching some of these shows was how familiar they all seemed. And I realized that I had really read many of these narratives in Jane Austen's novel and Edith Wharton's novels. I mean, all of the things that you see in these shows, which is the competition and the thwarted loves and the talk of money and fortune, those are all things that are very prominent in a lot of Victorian and Edwardian novels. In fact, they were really exactly how courtship was played out at that time. And even though many commentators have really derided these shows, and justly so, for kind of debasing marriage, it's really a throwback to the way marriages were arranged.
Patty, in books like Emma and Pride and Prejudice, which are Jane Austen books, or Edith Wharton's House of Mirth, the heroines are always surrounded by a claque of women, relatives, or friends who are weighing the ultimate suitability of the suitors in question, whether they're handsome enough, whether they're high enough up on the social ladder to be an advantageous match. Do the friends and Cupid serve the same purpose?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the friends in Cupid, there's one of them that's really beastly, and she is deriding and ridiculing the suitors and in quite funny ways. And there's definitely traces of that that you can see both in Austen and House of Mirth and other of Wharton's novels. I mean, they do play this role of commentators advising their friend whether to go after someone or not. So in that sense, yes, there is similarity between the two.
Well, then why would women want to vote for or opt into a throwback? You know, they've worked so hard to have freedom. Why go back to relying on someone else to pick your mate for life?
Well, there's two things in this which I think are interesting. One is there's this real disillusionment with the courtship process and the difficulty in finding, you know, from the woman's point of view, Mr. Right. And a lot of women, I think, feel what the heroine of Cupid, Lisa Shannon, said, which is, you know, I've tried on my own and I failed. I really need the help. So there is, I think, something that these shows tap into in terms of a general feeling about the difficulty of romance in the modern age. On the other hand, though, there is a more troubling Victorian ethos that is in play, which you alluded to, which is, here's this woman who's very beautiful and charming, but yet at 25 seems to feel panicked enough that she needs to go to such lengths to find a mate. I mean, mm-hmm. It is almost as if the women's movement didn't happen, that if you don't get married, you're doomed.
The next time I see one of these shows, instead of thinking, ah, this is dreadful, I'm going to think, ah, Jane Austen. Well, maybe this is the modern update of that.
If it inspires you to read Pride and Prejudice, then it's done a great thing.
Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
That was the New York Times Ideas editor, Patricia Cohen, with our literary editor, Karen Grigsby Bates. You can read Patricia Cohen's Cupid article on Slate.com. And Karen joins us now to explain how everything ended last night on Cupid. Well, what happened?
Well, Alex, as you noted, the newly committed couple gets $1 million, but they only get it if they get married right there, right then, on stage. They had a minister at the ready, and when he got to the "Do you takes," Hank explained that he loved Lisa, he fully intended to marry her, but in private at a wedding filled with family and friends, and she agreed. So the happy couple gave up the bucks for bliss.
It's love conquers all. They gave up the money for...
They did.
They're going to get married anyway.
Jane Austen would have approved.
All right.